Well, good evening. How you guys doing tonight? Good to hear. I'm going to turn on over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 this evening. Second Timothy chapter 1, we're just going to grab verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your eternal plan. Not only just for Christ, but also for his body, comprised of those who believe in Jesus' name and the power of his resurrection. Thank you so much for your church, specifically the congregation here in Billings. Grateful that we can all come together, live in a time and a place where we can hop in vehicles and keep us warm when it's cold, and come together to partake of your table, a heavenly kingdom meal with saints all around the world and those in the heavenly places. Especially thankful for the congregation here in Billings. Pray tonight that the message glorifies your word and your plan, and that your people are encouraged. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. I was thinking about, you know, what to preach on tonight, and tonight's message isn't going to be on power, love, and discipline. You know, this verse does have a really nice three-point message built into it. But I want to focus on a spirit of power. I want to focus on a spirit of power tonight. And I just wanted to share with you, let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. I just share with you what I enjoy growing in faith. And yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoy growing in general. Kind of a student by nature. Like learning new things and the pursuit of knowledge. You know, over these last few years, well, I've really enjoyed growing in Christ and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And I don't know about you guys, but I think a lot of you are the same way. That's why you're here. And I was thinking about Peter's understanding and his process of growth. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 16, Peter answers Jesus and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I'll also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." And we know that verse, we know it well, and it's a powerful verse. Now, does the Peter in Matthew chapter 16 appreciate the fullness of that verse? Or the Peter, who's an elder in the congregation of Jerusalem, who writes his epistles towards the latter part of the New Testament, understand it? There is a process of growing. And I enjoy that process. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, since how we're talking about him. You know, Jesus says this statement to him, and I'm sure there's just so many of those hilarious, so many thoughts, you know, popping in his mind, and he's trying to figure out, you know, which one do I take and which one. It's so powerful. Okay? Man, it took a long time to be able to understand the fullness of that statement. Okay? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll just I grab verse 17 and 18. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Now he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm just sharing with you, I enjoy growing in the knowledge of our Savior. How about you guys? Yeah. So I got thinking about something. I've noticed that there's two things, unintentionally, that I noticed that have come out in every single one of my messages that I've preached lately, and you've caught on to it if you've been digging in and listening. One is, for some reason, I've been weeding in the importance of overcoming sin in this life. Now, I've been preaching from Matthew for years, and yet I'm still able somehow to weave that in, and it's not always intentionally. And the other thing that always seems to come up in my messages is Ethan. And so I got thinking about this, and this has been on my heart lately. Now, is I use Ethan as an example. I got to share. If he makes it into every message, just understand that one of the greatest joys that I have about having that boy is that I get to share him with the Lord's church. Okay, you know that you guys, you adults and Christians that are going on before me and before him, get to be the example that he looks up to and the people that he formulates friendships with. Okay? And your children are the ones that he gets to have his friendships with. So I get excited not only about my boy because I love him beyond words, but I really enjoy that I get to share him with you guys. Okay? But this little guy's brought out a few new things lately that help me understand Scripture better as I grow. And one of them is longing for the pure milk of the Word. You know, verse for years and thought, yeah, you know, read your Bible. That's what he's saying. And then I saw a baby long for the pure milk. And I was like, that's the mindset we should have when it comes to the Word of God. Okay? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you will someday. For all the rest of you parents, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, and he hit this 3-month stage where he just decided that he communicates his hunger a little differently. And he just goes, ah! Like, this guy wants the milk. And so that's something that really opened my eyes. And then, guys, I want to be honest with you for a second here, because I've been thinking a lot about the faith of Abraham, how he was willing to offer up his son. Someone asked me to do that. Not sure what my knee-jerk reaction would be. Would I really offer up my boy? The Lord asked me to? Now, I got to figure that out myself, but you know what it really communicates to me? How much our Heavenly Father loves us. And so there's to me, it's fun. There's just so many of these new things that I've always known, but I've gotten the opportunity to grow in the knowledge just a little bit more, and it's fun. And brethren, the most recent one for me has been the topic of grace. I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, I'd always thought of grace. We look here in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, grace is space. You see, we don't have a spirit of fear. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. Like, our Lord is going to allow us to grow in the knowledge of His Son, and it's through grace. We don't have to be terrified that if we mess up or if we miss a Bible reading day, that our Heavenly Father is going to thump us on the head, because He gives us grace. He says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God provides that grace. Okay, and as we grow, okay, He's not going to thump us on the head. He gives us that space. And so I think of grace, and the one thing I want to make clear tonight is that if you pull anything out of this message, I want to focus on the power of grace. Okay? But you cannot limit this grace thing to just one aspect. It is multi-dimensional. Okay? But, you know, for years, you know, if I said, oh, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for God has given us His grace as a gift. You know, these are kind of similar the ways that I've pictured God's grace. It's space. It's us to have the freedom to grow. We might make mistakes along the way, but God has grace. Or it's the grace as a gift, like Paul says in Romans. It's the gift that God has given mankind, or even our opportunity to repent. Which one of you looked God in the face and was like, I have the right to repent? No, that's by God's grace that mankind has been given the opportunity to repent. Okay? And so I've always pictured grace in this manner. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. You know, God's grace is ability to overlook past sins and to forgive us of our transgressions. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, he says, the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus, abound to the many. This is how I've always thought of grace. Is this gift, this unmerited favor, this thing that God did for us, that He didn't have to, but He did because He desires our fellowship. Okay? This grace that He's extended to us in the form of a gift. If we jump down to verse 20 It says, the law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so another aspect of this grace thing that I've always thought is God's ability to cover all transgressions. He says, so that sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what I'm sharing with you is this picture I've always had of grace. And if you've understood the power of grace up to this point, then it's a great reminder for you today. And hopefully maybe there's a few of you here that have worked through what I've worked through to really appreciate what we've been given here. All right, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Oops, I skipped a line. We need to go to Romans 16. So I'm reading my Bible. Got to finished up a study in Romans this last week, and we finished up in chapter 16, which is, it's actually a really, really good chapter. Lots of good little interesting tidbits in there if you track out some of these names and the adjectives that are used here to describe these people. You know, they're faithful, they're kinsmen, a lot of good stuff in here. So don't skip over it. And, so I'm reading here in Romans 16, and I get to verse 20. And he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And I'm like, yeah, this is like this book. You know, this is the kind of stuff I like. He says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And I'm going, yeah. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And I'm like, what do I need God's grace for? I've understood grace is unmerited favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. You know. The free gift. The forgiveness of my sins. My sins have been forgiven. Man, and Satan's going to get crushed. But then he tells me that I need the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm like, there's something going on here with this grace thing. Let me go back to chapter 15. And Luke preaches an amazing message about a month ago. I'm just going to say, by the way, like as a side note, like I have not been as encouraged through a series of messages in the last few years as I have been in going through Romans in the morning with Mr. Luke Wilson. He is doing an absolutely phenomenal job in not only taking the scriptures and explaining to us the deeper meanings of the Spirit, but also how they can apply to our lives. And I've been really pumped up and thankful for these messages on Lord's Day morning. And in Romans 15, in verse 15, he's teaching through this, and he says that Paul says, Luke was preaching, he says, I have written you very boldly on some points so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And I'm sitting here tracking, and he says, the verse before that, in verse 14, concerning you, brethren, I'm convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Now for 14 and a half chapters, he's been getting on the Roman. He's been getting on the Roman. That's why the letter was written. And he says, but I know that you are good. I know that goodness is in you. But I've had to be tough. I've written you very boldly on some points. Okay, because it was the right thing to do, and it's what the congregation of believers in Rome needed. And so he says, I've written you boldly on some of these points because of the grace that was given to me from God. And so I'm thinking, oh, well, through God's unmerited favor and his riches at Christ's expense, like Paul has the life he has, and so he's got grace. And then this message finally hit home with me. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Power. It takes power to build the Lord's church. He says, you are good. I have written to you boldly on some points because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. The power to build the Lord's kingdom. Okay. And so I'm just sharing this with you guys tonight because it finally sunk in my skull, and I'm just being honest with you guys, and I thought, hey, there might be one person here who hasn't connected all of these dots yet. Okay? And so I'm thinking of this power. And so football's on most people's minds right now. you know, the quarterbacks get all the preferential treatment, and the running backs and the wide receivers get all the fantasy football attention, you know, picking up people off the waivers. But guys, football games are won at the line of scrimmage. Hands down. How big is the offensive line versus how big is the defensive line, and who's going to push the line of scrimmage up or back 5 yards? You have the best quarterback in the West, wide receiver in the whole world, and if the quarterback only has 2 seconds before, he's got to throw the ball because he's got a big old defensive end coming to him, which in our today days and age, they're 325 pounds and they can run faster than I can. So he's got 2 seconds to get that ball out. You're not going to win any ball games. It takes power to win that game. And if you haven't been exercising your offensive linemen and putting them in the weight room, you're going to get thumped. It takes power to build the Lord's kingdom. I like the way Luke says it in Acts chapter 6. He says, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen, what a mighty man. Full of grace and power, performing many mighty signs among the people. And so I ask myself the question, what is the mechanism by which God gives us this power through grace? What is this mechanism by which God gives us this power through grace? And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, you guys turn there. I might not be there. Well, that's right. I told you to go back to Romans, didn't I? Good, Mr. Tool. Okay. Okay, verse 14. And Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So the power comes from God has given grace upon grace. And brethren, I want to restate, you cannot take grace and define it by just one dimension. It is multi-dimensional. But grace is power. And I want to look at that a little more. Let's go back to chapter 1 here in Ephesians. In verse 18, he says, I pray, again, Paul praying, okay, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Maybe sometimes we got to wake up spiritually in order to let this stuff really, really sink in. Okay? It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory, His inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Where do you think that's coming from? What we read, it's through the Spirit in the inner man. But Christian, we have been given a great power, and that power has been given for a purpose. And so, I got thinking about the message of overcoming sin needs to be preached. And I think subconsciously, it has come out so much in my preaching, because it's something that we need to do. Okay? I don't know how many of us have striven in our pursuit against sin and have overcome completely and are going to stand up here and say that we're without sin before God every day. There's a process. Thanks for God's grace. Okay? But sometimes, in my honest opinion, including myself, we're a little too casual about overcoming sin that's in our life. So that message needs to be preached and it needs to fall on our heart. But what I want to bring out today is we have not been given God's Spirit to simply overcome sin in this life. Because I'd tell you, maybe a little further back, that was kind of my focal point. We have got the Spirit. We can overcome anything. Therefore, we should overcome our sin. And that's true. Just like Christ died on a cross and salvation is because of His death on the cross. But that's not where the message of the New Testament stops. The central message of the New Testament is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the Christian. Brethren, we have God's Holy Spirit in us, and we better overcome our sin, but that is not the only purpose for which we have it. We have God's Spirit to receive power from heaven to build His kingdom. To build His kingdom. I like how Scripture says, He says, for your sake, this was brought out this morning by comment, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. He said, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That doesn't sound to me like somebody who's just merely overcoming in their own life against their addiction. That doesn't sound to me like somebody who's overcoming their impatientness or their rude tone. We are being slaughtered. We are being led to death, but we overwhelmingly conquer. Brethren, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. To overwhelmingly conquer. I was thinking about football again. You know, if we take this power through God's grace in the Spirit, in the inner man, you know, if we take this and we just deal with ourselves and we don't let it pour out for God's purpose and for His kingdom, it's like taking that football and marching all the way down to the 1 yard line and then kicking a field goal. Did you score a point? Yep. Did you maybe win the game? Maybe, depends on who you're playing. But did you fulfill your potential? If you had just hunkered down for four more first, second, third, and fourth and goals, you could have pushed it in for a touchdown. You see, if we're thankful for God's Spirit and we have it and we use it to simply just overcome in our life, that's like driving the football down to the 1 yard line and kicking a field goal and hope the other team doesn't score more points. We have to overwhelmingly conquer. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Now I was thinking about what if you got up in the morning and, you know, brushed your teeth and put your pants on and went to work and then came home and kissed your wife and played with your kids and went to bed? Okay? Did you sin? Are you good before God? Well, you probably didn't sin, you know, assuming in this example, okay? You're probably good before God. But did you maximize your full potential? You see, you focused inward and on yourself. And I got, where's all the other exhortations for us to build up one another? To encourage one another. What about the exhortation to go out and to grow the Lord's kingdom and to share this message into the nations? Okay. This is what really got it to start thinking after I listened to the message on Sunday morning about a month ago, was I could get up, go through my day, work a job, come home, and I guess by, you know, my thoughts and my actions be, you know, stand good before God based on, you know, morality and lawlessness, but have I maximized my full potential? Brethren, there's a purpose for which we've been given the Spirit, and it's not just to hunker down in our bunkers. Okay? We strengthen the kingdom, and we grow the kingdom. And the two do not compete against one another. We have been given the Spirit to strengthen the church and to grow the church, and those two do not compete, but they actually benefit one another. And that was brought out really well this morning. And so I was thinking a little further into this in Galatians chapter 5, and I went to verse 22. And it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And it finally dinged with me every single, depending on your argument, nearly every single one of those deals with your interactions with someone else. And then it dawned on me, that's what I need the Spirit for. Love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness. All of those involve your spirit as it interacts with others out in the world, amongst the household of God and out in the Gentile world. That is why you have been given the Spirit. To overwhelmingly conquer. There was a wonderful message preached this morning, and it was something a little bit like this. Be nice to people who aren't nice to you. The hardest thing to do in this life. I used to tell you overcoming sin would be the hardest thing anyone would do in this life, and then it dawned on me, there's another level. There's a loving those not lovable. There is a forgiving those who don't deserve it, and there is a being kind to people who are flat out rude. That's why you've been given the Spirit. To overwhelmingly conquer. To overcome. To take a body and through all of its setbacks and its differences and personalities to pull it together perfectly united as one and to take it out into the face of the world and share God's message. I saw an interesting picture right before I got here today. It was a picture of a little mouse looking up at a kitty cat saying, "Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." And it was, "How bold can you be with sharing the gospel?" Okay? Willing to walk into the cat den as a little mouse in order to share the gospel message. Brethren, that is why we have the Holy Spirit. Every one of these deals with our interactions with other people. You can't buy a cabin outside Absorkey and live out there the rest of your life and drink coffee and read your Bible in your living room by your fireplace and not talk to anybody the rest of your life. What is the power of the Spirit being used for? Are you sinning? But are you sinning? No. Are you maximizing your potential? You're not. Then what have you been given the Spirit for? I think of Jesus, man. You know, Jesus is Spirit. Okay? It's His Spirit that walked perfect, and now it's the one that indwells you. Okay? But His Spirit that on this side of the cross we now know is the perfect, holy, good Spirit, right? Like, did He come here as the Spirit Himself to overcome sin? We didn't have any sin. So what did He use the power of the Spirit for? To build His kingdom. To look to agencies of the wickedness and the evil forces in the face and conquer them through His faith in God's plan. That's what He did with the Spirit. Didn't have sin. Listen, brethren, when sin enters the heart of a man, Romans 7, man, gives us a pretty good picture of what it looks like when you try to deal with it on your own. You just keep digging deeper. It does take the power of the Spirit to overcome sin in this life once it's entered your mortal members. But that is not the only purpose for which you've received the Spirit. And it really hit me. It's through God's grace. He has given us grace upon grace. To overcome and to overwhelmingly conquer. Okay. I was thinking about, we'll just wrap up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I was thinking about, now I'm going to share a story with you that's just the honest truth. I asked my wife this week and I didn't get a real straight answer from her. I'm not 100% sure if I'm someone who wears their emotions on their sleeve. Now, I'll be honest with you, I got a whole lot going on up here a lot, and I feel like I hold a lot in, but I'm starting to wonder if you guys can read me like a book. You know, you work alongside people in a school long enough, and you know, you'll figure out a thing or two, okay? And I don't know, I don't want to be that person. I want to be someone who's pretty mild-mannered, and you know what version of me you're going to get every day, even if I'm having a really good day or a bad day, okay? But guys, when bad things happen to me, and it's of you, it ruins my whole day. You guys ever heard me say lately, did you have a bad 5 minutes? Who do you think I'm talking to? I set it up at family camp. Did you have a bad day or did you have a bad 5 minutes and you ruined the other 23 hours and 55 minutes because you ruined it with your mind? Brethren, it's my personality and I have to overcome. But if one of you guys is short with me, or if one of you guys comes back to me that you said something about me, it ruins my whole day. I let it ruin my whole day. I'm like, that's not right. And so I came into assembly, this is months ago, okay, on a high positive, okay, jacked up for the Lord, okay. Three people in the assembly were rude to me. Flat out me. I happen to know that all three of those people and all three of those events were completely unrelated to me. So there's another message there. Okay? When people are having a bad day, sometimes it comes out on you. It's not you. Don't take it personally. Normally, I take it personal. So I'm on a high positive. I'm all jacked up for the Lord. I come out on Sunday morning. I'm going, hey, Kevin. Hey, Gerald. High five, Mikhail. And then three people are just flat out mean to me. They're just mean. And I was like, this is why I have the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul needed the grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ to build the kingdom, to preach the message amongst the Gentiles, and to make converts in his ministry. Brethren, that's why we have the Holy Spirit, the power. It's so that this body can unite perfectly in one. And that we can go out as little mice, even though we know we're not grasshoppers, and go out into a world that wants to eat us and confidently take God's message. The thing that dawned on me this week is that that is God's grace. You probably already knew that. I hope you've just been encouraged. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is an interesting little section here. In verse 7, he says, because of the, this is Paul, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Bing! And then it makes sense. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for, again, for your eternal plan. Pray that we would be strengthened in our inner man through the Spirit. Lord, we know that if we let the Spirit lead in our lives, we indeed are children of God, and that we will indeed carry out your will. Lord, I'm just mindful of the parable of the talents. Lord, some people have been given one, some people have been given two, and some people have been given five. From the one, you expect two. From two, you expect four. And from five, you expect ten. And the reason why you come on Judgment Day with that expectation is because you have given us of your grace. Grace is a lot to it, Lord. It's your very nature, Lord. But just excited to look and to learn in your word to see that it is the power to overcome anything. Not only is it the power to overcome the temptations and the transgressions that we battle in our lives, but it's to overcome the obstacles that are in front of us that prevent us from building your kingdom. Thank you so much for your grace, Lord. Thank you so much for the power we have through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We pray in King Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.